You're listening to Heart of Mind, a radio for the new millennium, a central source for health consciousness, spirituality, and self-liberation. I'm Catherine Davis. On today's program, we're going to be joined by Rick Ulfick, John Raymer, and Paul Slatkis to discuss a series of events and opportunities presented by 11 Days of Global Unity, 11 Days to Change the World. So I want to first introduce each of you and welcome you. Joining us, Rick Ulfick is the founder of We the World and the We campaign at we.net. We the World is a global coalition building organization that unites and amplifies the efforts of people, organizations, and movements working for the common good. Rick is the co-creator of the annual 11 Days of Global Unity, 11 Ways to Change the World, which goes from September 11th to September 21st, the UN International Day of Peace. 11 Days is a worldwide convergence of events, festivals, campaigns, and broadcasts for peace, justice, sustainability, and transformation with participants like Desmond Tutu, Jane Goodall, Deepak Chopra, and Tavis Smiley. So I'll just pause for a moment and say hello and welcome back, Rick, to Heart of Mind Radio.
Yes, it's a pleasure to be back on the show with you, Catherine.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. And also joining us is John Raymer. He's the founder of Compassion Games International, Survival of the Kindest. John was moved by the events of September 11th, 2001, to focus his entrepreneurial energies on nonprofit community organizing. In 2008, he was an organizational participant in the Seeds of Compassion, an event aligned with a visit to Seattle by the Dalai Lama. As executive director of the Compassionate Action Network, John conceived and implemented the International Campaign for Compassionate Cities. He is the co-author with Phil Lane Jr. of Deep Social Networks and the Digital Fourth Way. I want to say hello and welcome, John Raymer, to Heart of Mind Radio.
Thank you, Catherine. It's great to be here. I'm calling in from Stockholm, Sweden, where
we're participating
in preparing for the 11 Days of Global Unity and the Compassion Games.
Oh, I'm excited to hear more about that. Also joining us is Paul Slatkis, who created GoodNewsBroadcast.com in 1998 and their nonprofit PeaceDayParty.org, which has done events in Central Park and Times Square with a giant human peace sign. Paul has been in broadcasting and marketing for over 40 years, formerly with CBS and PBS TV, working on shows like All in the Family, Sonny and Cher, Carol Burnett, Nature and the Brain series. He created Milestone Broadcast in 1985 for multicultural marketing. Welcome, Paul Slatkis. Welcome back. And I have to say, just after listening to those programs, I'm like, oh, yeah, that's when I used to watch TV. But so you've done some great work. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you very much, Catherine, and it's a pleasure to be part of with the 11 Days outreach and the international leading up to the International Day of Peace. And Catherine, you're everywhere. That's good things that are happening. So thank you for the good things you do.
Thank you very much. So let's get started on reminding people about these wonderful events that are taking place. So Rick, maybe you can start out by letting us all know about We the World and the 11 Days of Global Unity, and give a little overview of what's going to be taking place this year.
Okay, that sounds great. Thank you. So basically, We the World is a global coalition-building nonprofit organization, and we annually connect and promote literally thousands of socially conscious organizations and businesses to amplify their efforts and generate public awareness and action. And probably our biggest program that we've done is 11 Days of Global Unity. We started that in 2004 with the help of many wonderful, amazing people. Archbishop Desmond Tutu created a video for the launch of 11 Days, and we had honorary co-chairs, including Jane Goodall and Deepak Chopra, and so many others, Robert Thurman, Marianne Williamson, Barbara Marks Hubbard, a long, long list. And there, at that point, there were 125 cities doing events simultaneously for the launch of 11 Days of Global Unity. And it's just expanded since then. So we're at the point now where every year there are as many as 700 associated events in over 60 countries. And this is all about promoting peace, justice, sustainability, and transformation. So I can tell you some of the major things that are going on this year. And, of course, we're going to be hearing from a couple of people on the show today who are doing incredible things, which are coinciding with 11 days as well. But on our end, we have something called the 11 Days of Global Unity Telesummit. And that's 1 hour each day during the 11 days, starting on September 11th and going through September 21st. There will be broadcasts of deep and profound dialogues with visionary leaders and thinkers and activists from around the world working on each of those themes. So maybe I can give you a little sneak preview about that. So Deepak Chopra and Karenna Gore will be on one of them, actually talking about peace. Karenna Gore, as some of you may know, is Al Gore's daughter, and she has something called the Center for Earth Ethics, and they're focused on environmental issues, including climate change, climate disruption, as I call it. So that's one. Marianne Williamson is going to be speaking on unity and why that's so important now for America. And in fact, that's something that maybe we can all talk about today. Ralph Nader is going to be on speaking about freedom. And, you know, he's got an incredible legacy of creating the Clean Water Act, the Freedom of Information Act, the Consumer Product Safety Act. Seatbelts are a result of his efforts, and food ingredient labeling, that's also due to the efforts of Ralph Nader. So he's been a very powerful force for freedom and protection for people around the country. And Robert Thurman is going to be speaking about Tibet for human rights, and you know, a long list. It's very interesting to get information about this and to register for this and to see all of the things that we're talking about today. You can go to we.net, we.net, and I guess we can talk more as we go further today on the show.
Excellent, excellent. And I'd like to invite you to speak now, John Raymer. And I think that the Compassion Games International Survival of the Kindest is a real wonderful idea, because so often what people think of as competition as being, you know, overpowering another person, winning over another person, and you're really talking about working together. So let's tell all of our folks what the Compassion Games are and how you're having a Global Unity Games connected to the 11 Days of Global Unity.
Yep. Well, it happened really remarkably when we started the Compassionate Cities campaign. And now there's hundreds of cities around the world that are embarked and have started efforts to bring compassion to life in their communities. We recognize one city in particular, which was outstanding, was Louisville, Kentucky, and their mayor, Mayor Greg Fisher. And we brought them to Seattle to recognize their great work. And the mayor wrote me a letter saying that Louisville was the most compassionate city in the world and would be so until proven otherwise.
Wow.
And I was shocked. I said, what? What do you mean? And he said, yep, they're so compassionate that they'd come out to Seattle to help us beat them. And I thought this was genius. This was such a great way to awaken in each of us the pride and civic desire to do good in our communities. So you can't lose the compassion games. We call it a co-opetition. And the more people play, the more people win. But what we do is we count the number of volunteers, the hours of service, the number of people that are served, the monies that are raised for local and global causes. And people share what they've done during the games on a compassion report map. And the idea is to elevate and amplify what good is happening in the world, you know, where we're getting it right as opposed to where we're getting it wrong. And this desire to build unity, and I'm so grateful to you, Catherine, for having us on your show, and you, Rick, for co-founding the 11 Days, because we've embraced that. In fact, this year the games will go from the 9th through the 24th, so it includes September 11th and the 21st, given that the 11th of September is a Monday and that the 21st is a Thursday, so we have both weekends involved. People can sign up and play as an individual or play as a team and do their service projects, everything from a random act of kindness to an organized service project, and then share it on the Compassion Report map, and then all the metrics add up, and there's a scoreboard. It's only sorted alphabetically. There is no winners or losers in this. But it does go back to the root, like you said, Catherine. We're reframing competition. The actual root of the word is competere, which means to strive together. So we're not competing against each other. We're competing with each other. But to really demonstrate and show, especially now when it seems like we could be coming apart in ways, we're trying to demonstrate how we're unifying. And we're partnering with Unify. Over the last 5 years, we've worked with them. But this year we're going to be using the idea of a global synchronized meditation to break the record with Deepak Chopra on the September, Sunday the 24th. And that will be a synchronized meditation so we can synchronize globally and organize locally. And that's the kind of the vision of our collaboration. Like just like Rick was saying, where we.net is building a network of coalition of alliances and organizations working cooperatively to really show what we're capable of and the collective impact we can make as a whole.
Yeah, that's really beautiful. And I think that just that people are engaging with this activity or with all these activities is a very uplifting thing. So I would like to recommend people to connect, even just to read what's happening every day or to connect with people are doing around the world. And in this way, they can get ideas of what they can do, but also as a counterbalance to the tendency towards our media to only focus on negative issues. So how can people connect with you? What is the website if they want to plug into what you're doing again?
Yeah, it's compassiongames.org. We're a nonprofit, and there you can see there's a directory of different kinds of activities, everything from a random act to an organized service project, as well as the Compassion Report map, where you can participate and share what you're doing.
Excellent. And I'm now welcoming back Paul Slatkis, and you are with GoodNewsBroadcast.com, which is also very helpful when we think about how toxic the media is and how much it really does feed negative thought forms, negative energy, and not very helpful overall. So tell us a little something about your work, Paul, with the Good News broadcast and the Peace Day party. That sounds like a lot of fun.
Okay, Catherine, thank you very much. Well, Good News broadcast, or goodnewsbroadcast.tv, in that I had come from the television world production. It's 19 years ago, 1998, July 4th, thought that it would be good to promote the world as a good place, which everybody on this phone knows that the majority, more than the majority by far, is wonderful and kind, loving, caring people. And I think that that mindset, there used to be a guy named Leo Buscaglia, he used to suggest everybody to hug each other. You know, the fact is that the world is good, so why don't we just show the good things that are happening? There are, as you had said, Catherine, you know, the media sharing negativity. But with all that negativity, or with a one negative situation, there's no doubt is a problem. But there are millions of people that are working very, very, very hard to fix that, including in the world of health and spirituality and so on and so forth. You have great people on the phone here right now, Rick and John, and as well as yourself. You have a very positive, life-affirming program for years. And so we thought that when the internet was semi-invented and you could stream video, that we would go and put our content on there. Now we have like thousands of programs of people that are doing positive work. The Peace Day evolved out of actually a relationship with Reverend Susanna Basterica, who took on the strengthening of the message of the United Nations, and which they declared September 21st as the International Day of Peace. It had been around since 1982, and it reinvigorated in 2002 with some new resolutions. And since then, we've been doing something in Central Park in the Bandshell. It will be September 17th at the Bandshell this year to let people know that there is a real day of peace. 193 countries agreed to a day of peace and to strengthen that message. A few years ago, I thought that we should do something. It was Deborah Moldau who suggested, why don't we do something in Times Square, you know, the crossroads of the world. I was able to secure the Father Duffy Square Park, which is right near the tickets bleachers. And created a human peace sign with a lot of good friends, which we're inviting everybody out to join us. We hold the Peace Prayer Society's flags, as well as sing some songs. We're going to have some entertainment. We have a billboard this year at 12 noon, which we'll put on some of the people that are part of our sizzle reel, from the Ringo Starrs to Michael Douglas's and other celebrities, Dr. Jane Goodall, many people that Rick is close friends with. And we'll have an event, and we actually asked the president to see if we can get a message from him, as well as the secretary generals. We have, talking about the Dalai Lama, Dr. Kazuko, who's sharing a lot with us this year, and she has an orphanage in the Himalayas, the Dalai Lama's home, and called Manjushri. And we'll show some kinds of things in regard to that, some of the work that they're doing there. So it should be interesting. We invite people down on September 17th to the Bandshell here in Central Park, and September 21st in Times Square at 11 a.m., both of those locations. Thank you very much.
Well, you're very welcome. And I would love to expand on this conversation a little bit, because all three of you have been working towards unity and peace and building this. It seems to me like a bit of a quiet movement, in that it's just growing and growing and growing, but it doesn't get the notice publicly that there are so many people around the world who are working together to create unity, to create peace. And I actually do believe that this is what the majority of us desire and are willing to work for. But the question becomes, are we closer? Does what we see in the media reflect the state of the world, or is this some kind of drumming up of conflict that is more orchestrated? What do you think, Rick?
Right. Well, I think we're, you know, both things are happening at the same time. I think we are getting closer, and those people who are interested in seeing a better society and a better world are beginning to come together. The internet is making that very possible. On the other hand, we are in a for-profit, media-driven environment, and the media is very much into, the mainstream media is very much into sensationalism, and like Paul said, you know, if there's conflict or some kind of controversy, that will tend to dominate the media. But then there's all the independent public interest media that's out there, including this program that we're on now, and I think it's beginning to prevail. You know, as Deborah Muldow says, "May peace prevail on earth," and I think that's beginning to happen. I'm very concerned about the media, because for me, the media, the messages of the mainstream media become the fabric of our culture. So because there has been so much in the media that has emphasized conflict and disunity, polarization, you know, opposing political points of view, people tend to think, well, that's how our culture really is. But I think the reality is that if you're going to give it a number, maybe 97-98% of our culture is very peaceful and connected, at least at a community level. So it's so we're getting a kind of a distorted view on the media, but what we're doing is pushing back and pushing through, especially with social media. Now, last year, the hashtag Peace Day was used something like 500 million times around the world, and the International Day of Peace was actually celebrated in every single country on Earth, and that's not a headline that you see in the mainstream media. But we're getting there. I think maybe we will see that at some point soon.
That's beautiful. John Raymer, I'm really interested that, since you are right now in Europe and you're working on the Compassion Games there in Europe, here in the U.S. we get a very distorted view, or maybe it's not distorted, but this whole conflict over fear-based activities and thinking with regard to immigration and some of the problems that are taking place as a result of conflict.
Yes.
So I was wondering how, if you could give me an idea of really what's happening there and how you see your work in relationship to that.
Yeah. Well, a good example is what just happened last weekend in Barcelona. Hundreds of thousands of people came out. The hashtag was, "I am not afraid." What's happened is that no longer can nation states fix these problems, such as terrorism and climate change and pandemics. So what you're seeing is local communities organizing. That's what we saw with the Compassionate Cities. And there's so many examples of cities that are rising together to take on these challenging issues. And examples of champions of compassion within those communities. For instance, in Bethlehem and in Jerusalem. They're the combatants for peace that we're going to be recognizing for their work. These are Israelis and Palestinians who had fought against each other, who said, no, this is not the path, and are put down their arms and are working together to make peace. There's so many examples here in Europe of who we're working with, in Belfast, and what happened in this, you know, next year will be the 20th anniversary of the Good Friday agreements. And we need to show that this is possible, healing is possible. Also in Canada, there's a walk for reconciliation. 70,000 people came out a few years ago. This is in recognizing and healing with the indigenous population there. There are examples of where we're turning away from using fear and terror as weapons to demonstrate that, no, we connect through our similarity and we innovate through our diversity. Our difference is a source of strength, but fear is a weapon that's being used. And we need to combat that weapon not by hating hate, because that only creates more hate, but demonstrating examples of how we have overcome that fear and terror to actually unify and demonstrate that we want peace in this world. If you ask people if there was one thing they could have in the world, and they know they could have it no matter what, they would say world peace. So we're at a moment when the peer-to-peer diplomacy is really possible. The connections through platforms like Facebook and being able to discover each other and recognize our shared values, that's what's going on in the world right now. That's what we need to show. And all the problems actually become motivating forces for bringing out the good. So it isn't like good versus evil. We need all of it, but we need all of it to recognize that we're in this together. And that is the only way out, is we've got to learn how to live with each other, listen past our differences, respect our different cultures and histories, and find those unifying expressions. That's the opportunity. That's why we're here. And we'll be going throughout cities from Leiden and Rotterdam and The Hague and in Amsterdam that have really taken on what it is to be a compassionate city. Because a compassionate city is an uncomfortable city. The whole issue with immigrants and what we're dealing with refugees, and the fear that's being used as a weapon to keep us apart. We could do better, we must do better, and we are doing better, and that's the message we want to get out.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. And I really do believe that many people are not, as you say, buying into the fear. If we could all turn off our televisions and radios after we've heard a story, no need to listen to it 100 times, then, you know, maybe people can energetically get back into a state of balance rather than being fueled that agitation. So I think when we take that self-responsibility, that is really one of the first steps. And Paul, maybe you want to also speak about this more overarching idea of compassion, unity, and working towards peace, you know, working with each other in a peaceful way.
Sure, thank you. I mean, I agree with John and Rick. I see us, we are, in essence, reality television, a reality media, a reality events. These are real events. These are real people doing real things all over the world. I think McKinsey and the company says 1.6 billion people will be aware of the International Day of Peace. The facts, as we look around us, we only see very, very, very little problems, in essence, in our area, in our lifestyles around us. So where I have seen, and actually I did the 20th anniversary of Woodstock with Richie Havens in Times Square, the same location we're doing our Peace Day event. Richie gave 10%. This is sort of a little bit how I look at this. If we said 10% of the world was, you know, troublemakers or, in essence, murderers and terrible people that are confused, they can't communicate, really. Rick did one event with Gandhi, nonviolent communications, okay? So they have violent communications. People can't communicate in a compassionate way, in a way to, we don't end up, you know, shooting, hurting, beating, and so on and so forth. There's just if you said 10%, that's 700 million. There's not 700 million people fighting. So in essence, I believe, and I think it's true, that the world is peaceful. And to get that message across, that the world is peaceful, I mean, we have disasters and we have, you know, war in places. But the most of the world, but somehow it's such a difficult, and I once interviewed Marianne Williamson, and she said, you know, these hard situations, the murders, these kinds of things, they grab you. They take your attention. You know, it's aggressive, and peace is peaceful, and you don't really sort of react to it. You just live it, and are maybe not even mindful of it. Sometimes we need to become mindful that we are living peaceful, and that life is good, and that we did get up in the morning. So it's a tough one for people to actually say the world is peaceful, because the negativity is so strong. That hence is, I think, the problem. But as we all continue on to promote the fact that we show, and more than promote, showing that the world is doing good, showing that all these things are happening, as much as you can using the media, and I also agree, I think the cell phone is going to be one of our saviors, because that is the 3 billion people plus have one, and with the right message, as we always need, I think we're moving forwards.
Absolutely, I agree. I think it's sometimes difficult for people to have that recognition, but from my perspective, this is why it's so important for us to take that time and space to go inward, to get involved in the meditations, like the one one of you described with Deepak Chopra, sort of this global meditation. I engage with these kind of activities as well as just separating myself from the bad news pipeline and spend a little time in nature, sitting on the ground, being in an environment where there's beauty, I think makes a tremendous difference on an individual level. But also, you know, having these opportunities to connect human being to human being is a wonderful way of grounding and connecting to nature. So it's one of the reasons that I really love when these events come around, because it really does give that opportunity to be inspired, to network, to make connections, to find ideas of what we could be doing with our time and with our energy in order to make a difference. And I believe that everybody is seeking that sense of meaning so that they're not just walking around like some kind of automaton seeking money and influence and power. I don't think that is really the focus of most human beings on the planet. So, Rick, maybe you can weave back in and talk to people about this whole 11 days of global unity, 11 ways to change the world, and how they can plug into this, because this is an annual event and people are doing things all year round. So maybe expand a little bit more on what you're doing at we.net.
Sure. Yes, and of course, if you go to we.net, that connects to all of the partners, everybody on the show today and many other partners as well. We also have something called the Global Unity Calendar, which is a fabulous way to see all the different events that are going on, and it connects with the Compassion Games calendar too, which is fabulous. John and I worked that out, I think it was last year, so we're all synchronized, and we can do that with other organizations' calendars as well. And that if you go to we.net, right near the top, there's a link to the Global Unity calendar. I also wanted to mention a very interesting project that is going public during the 11 days of global unity this year. It's called An Urgent Message from Your Children. And it's really exciting because these are new voices that are emerging. And we're talking about children who are 12 years old and younger. So we started this project with someone named Carol Hart, who was one of the people who helped to launch Sesame Street. And if you go to weyourchildren.org, you'll see really dozens of inspiring kids speaking in their own words about their hopes and dreams for the future of the planet, and also their concerns and their fears about the future of the planet. So it's a very powerful project, and it's kind of an open project too. So we are encouraging children from around the world to create their own videos, and this website will allow those videos to be shared among other children and parents, but also the idea is to share these videos with all the members of Congress, the president, CEOs, energy company executives, major media outlets, and the UN heads of state. So it's an urgent message from your children at weyourchildren.org, and it's launching during the 11 days of global unity. Another thing that's happening is some of the people working on 11 days and making it happen this year, they're doing daily mantras and meditations, and also updates and recaps by doing like Facebook Live programs. If you go to Facebook and look up the We Campaign, then you can follow all of these things that are going on for the 11 Days of Global Unity. There are even going to be Twitter parties daily for each of the 11 days. And we can connect with all of the partners and do cross-promoting. We've been doing that quite a bit. It's really great to get all of the word out about all of this good news, as Paul would call it. There's another event that I wanted to mention, which is going to be live streamed. It's called We Unify, and it's a concert in Austin, Texas, on September 21st. That's a transformational concert based on love, care, and respect. It's being done by Heidi Little, and she's a recording artist, and also she has something called International Children's Month. And I forgot to mention the daily mantras and meditations are being done by Karen Palmer, and the two of them are working together as well. So it's very exciting to see all of this. Okay, one more thing I wanted to mention, because John brought up something about immigration as being a flashpoint issue at the moment. And one of the projects that is being highlighted during the telesummit is Deepak Chopra and someone named Kabir Sehgal are collaborating on a book and CD called Home, Where Everyone is Welcome. And it's a collection of poems and songs inspired by American immigrants. And it's really celebrating immigrants and immigration. So they are talking about that also on the telesummit, the 11 Days of Global Unity telesummit. So we encourage everyone to register for that. Go to we.net. You'll see the link, and it's all totally free.
Yeah, and that's really the central place. If people forget all the connections and websites, they can go to we.net and get access to everything that's happening around these events. So I do encourage people to go there just to see and to learn so much more that's happening and all that goes into it. Because I have to say, a lot has gone into this work, and a lot of people are involved. And I just think it's a beautiful thing to have this in the world, to have this accessible for all of us, to make this engagement. I also wanted to go a little bit into the personal, and maybe, John, you can start with this. I was having a conversation with someone not too long ago, and I was really making a call for compassion. It was in a sort of a toxic environment, and I was trying to find a way to bring people to have a deeper understanding of who their opponents might be by bringing compassion to the argument. You could still disagree. But what is your thought on how people can really integrate compassion into their way of being?
Yeah. Well, I define compassion as empathy into action. So it's a good exercise to try to take someone else's point of view on things. You know, to dethrone ourselves from the center of the universe. And actually, our chairperson for the Compassion Games is Hereditary Chief Phil Lane Jr. And when I met Phil, he shared these guiding principles that have shaped the work that we've been doing for many years now. And it says, starting from within, working in a circle, in a sacred manner, we heal and develop ourselves, our relationships in the world. So it's exactly like you said, Catherine. It's, you know, we can't be so righteous and so determined to make our point heard. You know, someone once said, you got two ears and one mouth. You should seek to understand before we need to be understood. So it's a spiritual practice for me personally to discover the compassion in every moment. What is empathy into action, especially when you're in the presence of somebody who has a different point of view or may even see your point of view as a challenge to them and a threat to them? How can we have compassion for people that feel that way and relate to it in our own self and look beyond our differences? It's a spiritual journey, and it requires one's own development. It's engaged mindfulness. It's not enough to just be at peace with yourself. It's how do we find that bridge with each other to be able to discover what we have in common. And if we find our shared values, instead of, you know, focusing on our positions, but what do we have in common? There's so much more we have in common than we have that keeps us apart. We can do this moment to moment, and that's the opportunity that is life. That's what it presents to us, is a chance to get beyond our point of view and be open to understanding that there's many different points of view. And it isn't about being right all the time, but how do we find that common ground? That's the game. That's what compassion games are all about, is discovering really what we have in common and building on that.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And Paul, I know that you've done a lot of incredible work in the mainstream, working with TV, you know, PBS and different kinds of programming. And now the work you're doing on your own with the Good News broadcast. But one of the things that really strikes me about your work is that whether you are working in the mainstream or you're doing your work now, or I see you filming at different events, is that you seem to bring a level of joy to your work. You always seem to be like a really upbeat and joyful person. And maybe this is how you engage with people. But what could you say about the importance of finding meaning in what you do? Because it seems to me that your life or your work really exhibits that you have followed a path there is meaning.
Uh-huh. Thank you, Kit. Well, it's nice of you to say. The joy and the happiness. I would say I'm gonna start it because I think John had some beautiful thoughts here. He shared as well as Rick. But I I think it kind of boils down to another friend of all of ours, Robert Ferranta, who has the Hugger Planets. And he's such a giving guy, and he gives them to all our events and so on and so forth. He also gives me a business card. And we also go under the name Good News Planet. And this business card is round. It's the NASA photo of Apollo 17 when they went to the moon. It's from the shot from the moon, and they call it the Blue Marble. It's a very famous, if not the most famous, photo of the planet Mother Earth. And when you look at this, you look at our Earth, which we are flying away in outer space right now. And I think somehow I was fortunate to understand and see that, in essence, from that photo, you don't see any borders or any boundaries, and we don't see any colors of skin. Some of the things that are detrimental, in essence, to our society, I believe, segregates our society because people allow that to happen. I believe in the homo sapien, naked ape, human being, brotherhood and sisterhood of man. And that we're so lucky when we work together, we are together, because the reality is we are together. Scientifically, I guess, if you want to believe that we all come from somewhere similarly, we're all in that. So I was given, my mother was a librarian, Temple Emmanuel. She gave me Reverend Norman Vincent Peale's book, The Art of Positive Thinking. And somehow, I probably didn't even read the book. I was a little rebellious as a young man with a mother librarian. And it said to be positive. And so I've tried to maintain, and I'm a musician, so you're always a little nutty when you're a musician. So I think we're lucky to be alive. And there's so much good around us, and the people around us are beautiful. And I think it's really just a life should be compassionate, and it should just be joy. It is what it is. We're lucky to be alive.
Thank you. I agree. We are lucky to be alive, and I think that we're very blessed. That comes from my perspective on things, to find the connections that we do find and to be ushered along the path that is most beneficial, I think, that can really get us there if we pay attention to that inner voice or that inner call that asks us to get engaged and to be involved and to pay attention and to begin to really nourish ourselves intellectually, psychologically, spiritually, physically, on all these levels. And I believe that that will make a tremendous difference. And this is why I really encourage folks to involve themselves in these kind of events and programs. And even if you're not able to get out of your house, maybe you're housebound or for whatever reason you can't make it to a particular event, pay attention to it, engage with it, communicate through the internet and social media, spread the word about something that's going on in your own personal networks, and begin to embody some of these principles so that we can have on the personal level a life expression and a life experience that's going to be uplifting, that's going to have meaning, that will bring a satisfaction and joy as opposed to consternation and the kind of grief we get exposed to all the time. And we are approaching the end of our broadcast, and I wanted to give each of you an opportunity to come back, if you like, with some closing comments or reiteration of your announcements to let people make that connection. So, Rick, why don't you start us off?
Sure. And I also wanted to mention something, since you had mentioned or asked about on the personal side, how people connect with in their own lives with other people, and about compassion, how does that work in people's lives? And I just want to mention the idea of nonviolent communication. Catherine, mm-hmm. you and I have talked about this in the past, but there's a very powerful aspect of nonviolent communication that I think is is helpful in terms of how our society can begin to let go of the violence and conflict that we see so much. And the idea is that human beings have a certain set of universal values and needs that goes across all cultures. All humans on the planet have these needs, and they're not just physical, like air, water, and food and that kind of thing, but there are also things like meaning and love and connection and dignity and all kinds of things like that, purpose, respect. And these needs that all humans share can never come into conflict. What comes into conflict are the strategies that people create in order to meet these needs. And so if we can focus on our commonality, our shared values and our shared needs, then we can co-create new strategies that meet everyone's needs so we can really end conflict in that way and violence. So I just wanted to mention that. And then regarding 11 Days of Global Unity, we encourage everyone to get involved. And if you have an organization, we have resources for collaboration and action at we.net. And if you just want to see what's going on at we.net, there's the Global Unity Calendar and the 11 Days Telesummit with all these visionary leaders and thinkers, and you'll see the partners that we're working with, like the Compassion Games and Good News Broadcast. And thank you, Catherine, for having us on your show today.
Oh, you're quite welcome. And John, any last thoughts?
Well, yeah, let's just be grateful and start there. So I'm grateful to you, Paul, for the work you're doing. You, Catherine, for hosting the show. You, Rick, for reaching out in your never-tiring way of looking to create unity. I think that's one of the key things in all this, is to really don't lose sight of what we're grateful for. And we have each other, and we need to learn how to turn what we have into what we need so we can get beyond the fear and realize that all there is love. It was said so beautifully, it was 50 years ago that the Summer of Love took place. And It was that 50 years ago that it was that first global satellite broadcast where the Beatles wrote, "All You Need Is Love." And it's our determination through the Compassion Games to make it easy for people to discover each other and discover what's possible when we turn from fear to love. So my hope is that we all participate. There'll be missions we send out every day during the games from the 9th through the 24th, with an emphasis on 11 Days of Global Unity. And I'm just grateful. Grateful for each of you, for the work you're doing, and for everyone who's listening. I encourage you to get involved. Don't be afraid to get out of your comfort zone. That's the spirit of the games, to get into that stretch zone where we really try to use play as a way to go beyond what we've already done. Because if we don't change our direction, we're likely to wind up where we're headed. And it's our determination to be a part of the solution. And there's so many good things out there that we want to encourage and strengthen and support. So thanks again, and we're looking forward to this year's International Day of Peace and all the different ways that we're unifying to really take us to a whole new place. May it
all
be
right,
so.
Beautiful. Thank you. And Paul, we have about a minute if you wanted to offer a final thought or reminder.
Okay. Well, thank you, Catherine, and Rick and John. All we need is love. It is the 50th anniversary of when the recording did come out. We have a billboard in Times Square on September 21st, and we're going to play that with an event that was done in San Francisco with the Peace Channel .TV. They're going to be broadcasting for 2-3 days around the International Day of Peace, and I suggest that you all go there. That's where we're going to broadcast our events, and And all we are is what we are with each other. I think everybody in this call is loving, kind, and caring, and giving. So, Catherine, thank you so much for the good work that you do.
You're welcome, and thank you. And for those of you tuning in, a reminder, you're listening to the Progressive Radio Network, PRN.FM, on the web. I'm Catherine Davis, and this has been Heart of Mind Radio. You can go to the website, PRN.FM, and look for the Heart of Mind archive page, Heart of Mind Radio, and you'll find links to all these wonderful events in the description for today's show. So I want to say thank you to all. Have a wonderful week. Get engaged, get involved, and connect. So bye for now, and stay tuned for all the great programming over this network. And for those of you who are interested in connecting with me personally, questions, energy classes, any of those things, you can connect through heartofmindradio@gmail.com. That's heartofmindradio@gmail.com. And you can also leave a message, a phone message, at 347-480-1694. You can connect with websites and blog and all that interesting stuff by going to the PRN.FM Heart of Mind Radio archive page. Bye for now, everyone. Take good care and enjoy your week.